I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus. When they look to heaven expecting as they pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, it could be this very day. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus. When they look to heaven expecting as they pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, it could be this very day. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus. When they look to heaven expecting as they pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, it could be this very day.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, my God. I praise you, Lord. I'm so thankful for this time we have to gather together to lift your name in worship and in praise, Lord Jesus. Be with us here today as we honor you and give you all of the praise that you deserve, Lord Jesus. I love you today, and I'm so thankful, my God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I praise you, my God. Praise God, you may be seated. We're going to sing song number 251, Reach Out and Touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Here I am, Lord, here I am. I give all myself to thee. Here I am. Here I am, Lord, here I am. Let your spirit move through me, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord, here I am. I give all myself to thee. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your spirit move through me, Lord. Here I am. Here I am, Lord, here I am. I give all myself to thee. Here I am. Here I am. Let your spirit move through me, Lord. Here I am.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, my God. I praise you, Lord. I love you, my God. I'm so thankful for this time that we have together and for how you make yourself so present in our lives and how we can feel that spirit. I love you, my God, and thankful for this life that we have in you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Praise you, my God. Praise God.
Let's sing a song about Jesus. Let's sing a song about him. Let's sing a song about Jesus and let the whole world hear our song. Let's sing a song about Jesus. Let's sing a song about him. Let's sing a song about Jesus and let the whole world hear about wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty King. Let's sing a song about Jesus and let the whole world hear our song. Let's sing a song about Jesus. Let's sing a song about
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, my God. Glory, Jesus. Thank you, my God, for your precious spirit. Hallelujah.
The song and fire.
my God, for that strength and the power, Lord, to lift you, to lift up your song of praise, oh God. Lord, in your holy name, sweet Jesus, mighty God, hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. I love you, my God. Praise God. You may be seated. Forgive me here while I... If we had any testimonies, now would be a perfect time while I rearrange all my stuff to get out of that sunbeam. Thanks, Lori.
I wanted to also thank Jesus for yesterday. It's like Lynn said, it was just such a wonderful time to get together. And well, I really thought that I knew how to make pie crust, but I found out that I really didn't. And I did learn some really good tricks, and I'm so appreciative of Emily for doing that for us. And I really encourage everyone, ladies, men too, that when another class comes around, participate, because it's a lot of fun and you learn something. I just love my Jesus today so much. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. I'm going to go ahead and sing song number 43. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, Ben!
I just want to thank the Lord for always keeping his hand on my family and just for keeping his hand on us when we were trying to get up to Anchorage just last week. It was kind of crazy, and the weather was all over the place. And for keeping his hand on my little boy while he was going through his surgery, and just for making it a peaceful time, even though it was crazy with the other one as well. But at least the surgery part, and he gave us peace through that whole process. And the doctors were amazing, and they loved him and said that he was the most adorable child they'd ever seen. And we're going to have to work on stranger danger, apparently. So I just want to tell him I love him and tell him I thank him for everything and they blessed my life with.
Thank you, Lord. So we're going to sing song number 43, Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. Give Ben a moment here. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, when I lay my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, when I lay my burdens down. I'm going home to see my Jesus when I lay my burdens down. I'm going home to
there's a better home awaiting when I lay my burdens down. There's a better home awaiting when I lay my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, when I lay my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, when I lay my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, when I lay my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, when I lay my burdens down. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last drum, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last drum, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Lord Jesus, my God, I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, my God, I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, my Lord, I love you, my God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I praise you, my God, and so thankful. Thank you for this life. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated.
Just wanted to thank God for being here this afternoon and for this lovely sun that's coming through and brightening up this room. And I don't ever want to sit down and not I always have something to thank God for, even when it gets rough out there. And I just want to thank him so much for the anchor that he is in my life and how he keeps me centered and keeps me functioning and keeps me going forward no matter what is going on around me. And I love him so much for that. I never had that prior to receiving his spirit. And it's such a comfort to know that he will take care of those things. And I just ask him for strength always to do what I need to do. And I also want to thank him for our Thanksgiving dinner last week, that my whole family was able to be there. And I never want to, you know, take that for granted. I'm so thankful. I taught both my children about God, and was really high on my priority list before I came to this church. And they have got the tools and the ammunition to do what they need to do in this life. And I feel like that's, you know, really our job as parents to equip them if we can, and we understand that. And I love him so much and thank him for always taking care of everything I always have need of.
Thank you, Lord. I wanted to give a quick testimony, a quick thanks to God. It's amazing how often he uses teeny tiny little ways of showing that he loves you to reinforce and set you up for when the times come when you need that big faith. And our family had a little one of these today, or this, I guess it was yesterday. We had Adela had worked so hard and earned a watch that she had and loved the watch, and it was so amazing. She had it for like a month and a half or something, and then coming back from church on Wednesday, it was gone. And we searched everywhere, and it was, you know, that night we had the big snow, and so the snow plow came out and plowed the church parking lot, and I was sure that that watch was gone forever. And but we kept looking at it. We prayed at night for it, for him to quicken our minds on where maybe it might have ended up. And in the teeny tiniest little crack
in between the seats, and I have no idea how it could possibly have gotten there. I saw this little flicker of blue, and it was her watch hiding there in our car where we had looked 10,000 times. But God was there and gave us that watch back, and it's a tiny thing. It's not anything significant, but knowing that he cares that much about the tiny things and those little things that give us happiness, you know, then it gives you absolute confidence when the times do get hard that he'll be with you. And the song I'm singing is the song You'll Never Let Go. And that song is this song is definitely about those bigger things, but we can have that confidence that he's with us. So please worship with me while I sing. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, never let go of me. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? No, no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh, no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh, no, you never let go, Lord, never let go of me. A light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, never let go of me. Lord Jesus, my God, I praise you, Lord. So thankful for having you in our lives to lean on and to support us in our trials, and to lift us up in our times of joy, my God. I praise you, Lord, and I'm so, so thankful for this life in you, my God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, my God. Got one last song we're going to sing today before Paul comes and brings us the word of God. It's going to be song number 69, Heavenly Father, I Appreciate You. And if you're in Sunday school, you can be dismissed now. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you. I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you. I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Thank you, my Lord Jesus. I love you, my God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, my God. Praise God. Will you all please stand for the word of the Lord?
Praise the Lord. Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ right here in Salatin, Alaska. I'd like to welcome our visitors and our live stream folks. Join right in with us today. We're just here to worship God, praise Him for what He's done for us, and get a little closer to each other. Amen. As we draw closer and closer to Thanksgiving, this message has been about gratitude and thanksgiving to God for not only the big things that He does in our life, but the little things. Like John was just talking about a little bit ago, but when you're looking for something, it's a little, it's not a big deal to anybody but you, but when you find that, you know that your God helped you find that thing. I mean, a child of God, you're not going to tell Him any different. When God does something small or big for you, you know it's Him. And I just want to thank Him for always being there, for showing us His love and His mercy, and just for what He is to His people. A Savior, a comforter, a friend like you've never had before in your whole life. Just praise God for being God. Amen. I got a couple of notes here I wanted to read about thanksgiving and gratitude. Thanksgiving, thankfulness is a feeling pleasing, that you're pleased or relieved. Gratefulness is an action, showing your appreciation for something done or received. Thankful for more about expressing feelings and saying thank you. When you practice gratitude, there's usually an action behind that. It's just, you want to show the person that did something nice for you that you really appreciate it and you really care about that and their thoughts towards you. And that's how we all should feel about our walk with God. We should be thankful, but we should have a whole lot of gratitude for his love and his mercy for us, the way he's brought us from wherever. I mean, this church is full of people from all over the United States. And, you know, I've told this story before. I had no desire to come to Alaska. But when I heard about a church that taught straight out of the Bible, that actually lived the Bible, didn't have their hand out for money all the time, cared about each other, that were real people, I got to find out that you could receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, and have the power to change. I quit my job when I was here in just a matter of a couple of weeks. And I had to find out if it was real. I wanted to change, and I didn't even know it was God I was looking for. I just knew that I wanted to change. And praise God, he didn't let me down. And that was 45 years ago. And so I look back, and it was pretty amazing. I was looking at a 10-year job in a nuclear powerhouse as a welder, and hunt on the way to work, fish on the way to home, and just bought another new truck, and motorcycles, and cars. And I was not happy at all. The more I achieved, the less I had spiritually. And I didn't know that I was wanting to fill that void. I just know I wanted to change. Anyway, God got me to Alaska with $650 in my pocket, a wife, a 2-year-old son, and this church. And it was everything they told me it was and more. And praise God, so thankful to be here today. Amen. I was going to touch a little bit on your pie baking, crust making get together yesterday. All I heard was all these positive things about how much they enjoyed it and how much they learned. And there's nothing like getting together with your brothers and sisters. You share that common bond. You feel about God the same way each other does. And he's real. It's not just on Sunday. It's a 24/7 lifestyle. You're supposed to be an example of what Jesus was when he was here in this world. And you know, you think about all the people that you meet in your life and how you were raised, or what religion you were raised in, or maybe not had. You had part of the truth, but not all the truth. And you think about how simple it is when you really find out what the Word of God teaches, not what mankind tells you, but what's in black and white in God's Word. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel message. And from there, you go on out and you do the work. After you receive that power, you go out and do the work. And you tell other people, you give them an opportunity that somebody stepped out and gave you. And I pray every day for that boldness to be able to step out, no matter what crowd I'm in or where I'm at or who I'm with, to tell them what God's done for me. And that's our commission. That's each and every one of us. Once you know the truth, you're obligated to tell others about it. And if you have that love in you for mankind, you don't want them to fail, you'll find a way to tell them. Amen. That's another thing I was thinking about the other day when I was studying this, about the effort you put in this life to get ahead, to have a nice house, a decent car, decent clothes, be able to go on vacation once in a while. Just anything that's natural. And how much time do we give God? do we give God what he deserves? Because if you love somebody, you're going to spend some time with them. And the only way you can spend time with God is to read his word, study his word, and pray. And I have a routine, but I've only been doing that maybe for 4 or 5 years. Maybe a little longer than that. I mean, I've always prayed, I've always studied, but not like I do now. I won't let myself go to bed until I pray and have studied for a while. And it makes so much difference in your attitude and the way you live for God. It's like night and day. And when you get down on your knees to pray, he's right there. You don't have to fight it. You don't have to just tell him you're sorry about 15 different things. If you're walking close to God, that's all that counts. Everything else in your life works out, period. And I love him for that, for never letting us be by ourselves after we find out who he is and receive his spirit. And that spirit, that salvation plan is found in the first two chapters of the book of Acts. And most of the people in this body here have received it that way. And there's a few that are seeking it right now. But that's for each and every one. It's a free gift. And you have to have that to do all the things that God wants you to do for him. I mean, there's different things you could do to change your life. You can quit smoking. You can quit drinking. You can quit a lot of things. But the inner parts of a man or a woman that nobody knows anything about but you and God, that you want to change and you can't. You get over the hump for a while, but you slip back into that once in a while. And if you really want to change and get close to God, it breaks your heart. I tried for 3.5 years to change, and I did. I gave up quite a few things, but I could not get the deeper things of my life, my personality, the things that happened to me in my life that changed me, that made me the way I was. The Holy Ghost is the only thing that helped me get rid of that. Thank God. I came to set you free. That's what he tells us. I came to set you free. And once you've been free, don't go back. Because it's a lot harder the second time around. I had a little note here during these next couple weeks before Thanksgiving, get yourself a little notebook or a little pad or something. Just every day write down 2 or 3 things that you're thankful for, that God's done in your life. You'd be amazed at the end of 2 or 3 weeks how many things God's done in your life. And you're only putting down 2 or 3 a day. God never goes asleep. He's always working. And he's always working for our benefit. He's always working for our good. Because he loves us that much. Amen. Let's go to a few scriptures here. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter. And I advise anybody that doesn't have their Bible with them, we got some back here. We teach the King James Version. I want you to make sure that everything that I teach across here comes right out of the Word of God. I don't change a word. Nobody ever has in the 45 years I've been here. Nobody behind this pulpit has ever taught anything that wasn't right there in black and white. And that's one of the things that's always impressed me about this place. They never had their hand out for money all the time, and they did their very best to live a holy life. I'm only going to read one scripture here. Romans, the 12th chapter, I'll read two of them. Verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that's just the ground floor there. That's just bare bones. Present yourself as a holy living sacrifice. Now here's the trick to all this stuff, right? Well, maybe I shouldn't say trick, but this is a remedy. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everything that happens in your life, it starts right here in your brain. And then if you leave it in there, if it's good or if it's bad, you get it out of there. In the name of Jesus, it's got to go. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be that good example out there. Don't be a hypocrite. Live this life that this Bible teaches you're supposed to live. And if you slip and fall, you go right to the person or the persons, and you tell them you're sorry that you let God down. And you let them down by the way you reacted, and make it right. Don't be a hypocrite. I taught it before. It's probably the worst thing that could happen to a Christian is to be a hypocrite. And there's enough of them around. We don't want to be one of them. But there's a scripture, and I don't want to go to it right now, but it's about retraining your mind. And that's an ongoing process. You can do pretty good at that for a while, but that's a daily process. That's a kicking out the things that are not of God and putting the things that are of God. And that'll go on until the rapture takes place or until you pass on to the next life. So just remember that. Retrain your mind. Think on these things. Let's go to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Start out in verse 4. 4 to verse 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be a good example out there. Be moderate, which means to have temperance in your life. Just have the right amount of whatever you're supposed to have at that particular moment. Not over excessive about anything. Verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I lost my place there. Sorry about that. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. If you're at peace with God, according to his word, not according to what you think or I think or your friends think, but if you're really at peace with God, everything in your life, you can deal with it. You can handle it. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I got a control of every part of your life. If you're going through some tough times, there's a spiritual reason for it. Not only a natural reason, but there's a spiritual reason for it. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, any good, if there be any praise, think on these things. There we go. That's talking about retraining your mind right there. These are the things we want to have in our mind. Get rid of all the negative. God's a positive God. He is a positive God. There's not a negative bone in his body. Well, he's a spirit right now, but I think mankind always looks at what's going on right around them at that particular time, and they make a judgment on whether they want to be positive or negative about it. But if you're living for God, you got to realize that everything that goes on in your life, God's got control of, and you can be positive about it. Now, it's when you're in the valleys, it's not easy to be positive. But that's where your faith and your trust in God grows. Because after he gets you through this one, and you're up in the mountaintop, nothing bothers you. And you go down in the valley again, up and down. That's how it works. But all the while, you should be getting closer and closer to God and understanding more and more about him and his ways and the way he interacts with you. And look at it in a positive way. It's always for your good. It's always out of love. God never does anything with his people. He's just he's a loving, positive God. It's just, I love living for God, man. He's fair. If I mess up, he gives me the punishment I deserve. Never more, never less. We ought to be that way with each other, with our children. Never be overly judgmental towards them, but they still have to be corrected. If you really care about them, you're going to correct them. Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and that God of peace shall be with you. That's what we're talking about. If you've got peace in your life between you and God, there's nothing, you won't waver. It won't be easy sometimes, but you won't waver. You'll hang in there because you trust your God. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Now let's go to Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 1. You know how we show our gratitude and our thankfulness to God? By living a holy life and out in that world, whether it's at work, in the shopping mall, at school, everywhere we go. And that's what these next few scriptures are about. If you really want to show God you're thankful, this is how you live. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, this is talking about somebody that's been born again. They're dead to their own nature, and they're supposed to be walking with the nature of Christ, with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify, that means kill. Therefore, your members which are upon this earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. You have to really think about some of these things sometimes. When you're studying God's word, think about where you came from and where he's brought you to. If that doesn't make you thankful and grateful, nothing will. I mean, I think about what he's done in my life, man. for what he's done in my life. And he's no respecter of persons. It can't get tough enough out there where God can't find a way for you to get through it. Verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which we also walk sometimes when we lived in them. And we're talking about the old man, the old lady. No, that doesn't even sound right. The old woman. But now you're put off all these, anger, the wrath, the malice, the blasphemy, the filthy communication out of your mouth. And lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. You know, when I'm talking to somebody, there's a lot of times there's issues that come up. I try to put people in a position. I don't say things to them where they're going to have to lie to me. I try to make it easy for them to tell me the story or tell me the situation without feeling like they have to lie to me. That's something to think about, because you can confront people in a way where it scares them. They don't want you to think bad of them, and they'll lie. If you really care about somebody, you really watch how you ask them questions and interact with them, so you don't put them in that situation where they get scared and nervous. They don't want you to think bad of them, and they'll tell a lie. And there's no such thing as little white lies. A lie is a lie. Bear with me for a minute. I'm just thinking about some of these things that I've studied and read here, what they do to you psychologically, how they make you interact and act towards people, sometimes defensive, which is, we shouldn't have to be defensive towards each other. We should have that faith and trust in each other as God's people that we could share whatever and not have to worry about it going any farther, and find the love and compassion for each other that God says we should have, even to the point where you lay down your life for your brother or sister. Verse 10, and you have put on a new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And here's one that's tough sometimes. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, you also do ye. That's something there. Sometimes people can't forgive. They carry things for years and years and years. Sometimes it's just a misunderstanding. If they would just go to that person and say, because you can feel when things aren't right with your brothers and sisters. You can feel when things aren't right with anybody, especially your brothers and sisters in God. And if you feel like there's something wrong, you should go to them and say, is everything all right between us? And if it's not, you should make it right. If you can't do that, that's what we're here for. If you have something that's taking you down, that you just can't seem to get past, go see your pastors, assistant pastors, and talk about this. Get it out there, because it won't go away. It's just like a sliver in your finger. If you don't dig that thing out of there, it'll stay festered for the rest of your life, unless it works its way out. That's how we have to be. We want that unity here and that love and mercy towards each other that God has for us. And the only way you can get it is to be honest with each other. If you're not honest with each other, you'll never have that. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which we know that means love, which is a bond of perfectness. If you got the kind of love that Jesus says he has towards us and we should have towards each other, you can't lose. You cannot lose. We have to, if we don't have that, we have to work at it. If we're getting pretty close to it, it's a daily thing. You still have to keep working at it. We're in a battle. Let me put it this way. We got a natural and a spiritual. And we are in a battle every day with that natural. It does not want to do what the spiritual wants done. We got our own ideas, our own ways, and we don't want anybody changing anything or getting in our space. But that's where the long-suffering and the love and mercy comes in. Because he says, I have mercy on those that have mercy on others. And we all need all the mercy we can get. Amen. I'm going to read verse 12 again. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy. And that bowels of mercy, if you chain it out and look it up, this is about as deep as you can get in a feeling towards another person. Just what you'll give, whatever it takes to be merciful towards them, everything. You don't care about it. So you have to forget about you and your feelings and start wondering about how is that going to affect them. What's the best thing for them spiritually? What can help them grow? What can I do to make their life a little bit easier? Because heaven knows that this life is getting tougher and tougher all the time, what's going on out there in the world. I didn't bring that up about Israel in the Mideast over there, but we need to keep them in our prayers. I mean, we're sitting on World War III right now. We're sitting right there at the doorway. And we got it made in Alaska here. It's this remote. Everything's day to day. Everything's good. Pretty good work up here still. Good people live up here. We don't have the quantity, I guess, of some of the evil that's down below. We got some, but we don't have it to the excess that they have it down there. This is an awesome place to live right now, but it's going to get here too. That's why we have to be close to God and to each other, because in these end days, this is going to be not an easy place to live in, this world, period. I mean, if you even look at the news for 5 seconds, you can't hardly watch it more than 5 minutes. Some of the things that are going on in this world and to human beings, it's just unbelievable. I mean, it just breaks your heart, man. And because it's not you, it's not us yet. Hopefully we'll never get there. We'll be raptured before that part gets to us. But if it does, we have to deal with it in a godly way. But we should have mercy and compassion and pray for them poor people, man. They're going through some stuff. Verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace, there's that peace again, peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. This is how you have that unity. Just living like this with each other, being able to forgive and forget, just be there for each other with love and mercy. That's how you are a united body of people. And that's an everyday thing. That's not just on Sunday, Wednesday, or when it's convenient. That's, you go out of your way to have unity. You suffer yourself to be defrauded once in a while. That's the scripture too. You'll do whatever it takes to keep the unity in the family of God. I mean, and you can only do what you can do. If you still, somebody refuses to come under that or come into that, well, you can't do anything about that. You can pray for them, but you don't react to it. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Question, are you thankful for this word? This word is our guiding light, man. There's not one thing that can happen in your life that the word of God doesn't teach you how to go through it, how to handle it, and the solutions for it. But if you don't know the word of God, if you never study this word, you don't have that. You have to make yourself. You have to make yourself do spiritual things because your natural doesn't want it. But I can tell you one thing, once you get started doing it, you won't want to quit. It gets to be addicting. Like I've said before, I've been watching something on TV that was fairly interesting. I'll get a thought in my mind, I want to know about it. And I'll shut the TV off and go start studying so I can find out about it. But I never used to be like that. If there was a ball game on or something on that order, you couldn't pry me away from that TV. I don't feel that way anymore. You can, and if it's that important, you can record it. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter, the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter. Let's start out in start out in verse 12. And this is another set of scriptures that teach you no matter what you're going through, that God's right there with you. He tells you, that's what's so cool about the Word of God. He tells you all these things are going to happen to you before they even happen. And if you keep these on your mind, yeah, this is because God's allowing it, and there's for a reason. Just, for instance, like this first verse, verse 12. 1 Peter, the fourth chapter, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing's happening to you. He tells you right there, these things are going to happen. But rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory of God resteth upon you. On their part it is evil spoken of, but on your part it is glorified. Now we're talking about persecution in the world, on the job, anywhere you're getting persecuted for being a Christian. If you're a good example, shame on them for persecuting you, and glory to God that you've got enough strength that you're standing straight up and you're not cowering. It takes a real man and a real woman to live for God. Christians are not weak. Real Christians are not weak. They're special people. God even says that you're a special people to me. you're worried about somebody at the job because if you don't join in one of their conversations or laugh at one of their jokes or you're an outcast or whatever, I can be outcast wherever I go as long as God's happy with me. Amen? And number one thing is God's got to be happy with me. I'll do whatever it takes for him to be happy with me. I'll go, do, say, whatever he wants me to do, I'll do it. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or a busybody in other men's matters. Other men's matters. Don't be a busybody. Take care of your own household. Don't have your nose in everybody else's stuff. Wonder about this. What about that? Did you know this? Take care of your family. Don't worry about everybody else. God is big enough to take care of everybody's problems. Amen? Yet, verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that our judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Have faith and trust in your God. If you're going through these things, God's right there with you. He said these are the refining fires. They get rid of their natural part of you and make the spiritual part of you stronger. They build your faith and your trust in him and everybody around you. People, your acquaintances, your relatives, your co-workers, people that know you, know how you are. When all these things are happening around you and you're not losing, you're not cussing and throwing hammers and walking off and huffing and puffing and all that stuff, that you're the same every time, every day, no matter what, things are good or bad, that you're the same person. They know that's not normal. Because you can't keep it to yourself in the natural. The Bible teaches that. Sooner or later, what's in your heart will come out. You cannot hide how you really feel forever. There's people that are real good at it, but every once in a while, they'll slip. And then you can tell that they're lacking something. But in God, you have the power not to react that way. Praise God for that, amen. Let's go to the Psalms there. Let's finish this up. Well, we're going to actually finish this up next week, but this year's just kind of building up to the end of it. I mean, somebody said something tonight in their testimony about always having something to be thankful for. Believe me, we always have something to be thankful for. Always have something to be thankful for. And the thing about us as human beings, some people, IQ is a little bit better than others. Some people are a little more skilled than others. And some people take that so personally that they don't give God any credit for that. I've worked around some really skilled people that never got hardly any farther than payday to payday. Payday to payday, no matter how hard they worked. But God says, I'll bless the work of your hands. If you do what's right before me, I'll bless your life. I'll bless the work of your hands. I'll bless you with your employer, with people around you. They will find, like Joseph, some of the old people in the Old Testament that were slaves, and they wound up being like the head of the households of certain kings and stuff. God has done that for us right here. don't take it for granted. And don't take it personally like it's, I did it all myself. Because God gives and he can take it away just as fast as he gives it. Amen. Let's read our last scripture here. Psalms 100. Let's start out in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord is good. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. Well, we're just talking about that. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his church, into his sanctuary with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth for all generations. Praise the Lord, man. That's the kind of God we're serving right here. We don't want to ever take it for granted. He knows the numbers of the hairs in our head. That's how much he cares about us. He knows one sparrow falls from the sky. That's how close he keeps an eye on his creation. So don't ever think that he's not watching. He's watching for not only for the safety of his people, but for the good of his people, because he cares about them. That's why he wrote his word the way it is, full of love letters in here, and it's full of warnings. But it also tells you in the book of Revelation what you got waiting for you. If you endure unto the end, you have eternity with him. And it's not an eternity like I was painted all my life, of dull somebody sitting on a cloud up there. There's going to be, he said, eye has not seen nor mind conceived that things that God's got laid up for those that love him. And he says, if you love me, you will keep my word. So do your very best this week to keep his word, to be a good example. Don't miss the chance to give somebody else an opportunity to live for him, to witness. A witness means that you're not only talking, but you're living. You're living a holy life out there. And you have to stay on top of that, because it's, you get up in the morning, you take your inventory, you go to bed at night, you take your inventory. And during the day, you're thinking about everything you say and do. How would Jesus handle this? How would this be perceived if I say it? We have plenty to do during the day. Along with our work, we can do a lot of these things just to rent our mind. And that's what it's all about, retraining your mind. Anyway, this altar is going to be open here in a few minutes. If you're seeking the Holy Ghost, this is a good place to come. If you just want to talk to God, come up here and just love him. It's open for that. If you want to come up here and pray for your brothers and sisters, your wife, your family, your children, it's open. I love you all. Have a good week. And we'll see you again here Wednesday night.